Hi, and welcome to Write Better Now, a podcast of quick weekly writing tips meant to help you become a better writer.
We're your hosts, and I'm here with New York Times bestselling author Carrie Jones and wife extraordinaire.
And I'm here with copy editor extraordinaire Sean Farrar.
Thank you for joining us.
Hey, it's Write Better Now. We're starting a 3-week series.
Are we?
Yeah, on
Sweet.
Theme. Because I try to keep these somewhat short.
Yeah.
Theme is turning out to be a long, long, long thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess it's kind of important to a book, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, there's a whole bunch of different writing coaches and definitions and all sorts of things about theme. And even just defining it is different according to different people. They all take their own spin on it. But the one we're going to talk about, the definition today, is a direct quote from Lit Charts. And Sean's going to read it to you because a lot of us writers don't even know exactly what theme is. It's sort of this abstract weirdo thought, right?
Yeah.
It's not the same as like plot. Oh, the cause and effect.
Right.
Character. Oh, the person in the story or the manatee in your story. Theme. So what is theme?
Theme, according to Lit Charts, is a theme is a universal idea, lesson, or message explored throughout a work of literature. One key characteristic of literary themes is their universality. How's that?
Universality.
Universality. Whatever.
We're just writers.
Which
We're
is to speakers. Say that themes are ideas that not only apply to the specific characters and events of a book or play, but also express broader truths about human experience that readers can apply to their own lives. For instance, John Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath, never heard of that one, about a family of tenant farmers who are displaced from their land in Oklahoma, is a book whose themes might be said to include the inhumanity of capitalism as well as the vitality and necessity of family and friendship.
And you can have, as that example and definition show, more than one theme in your story. But right now, we're just going to be focusing on one theme for this series and the main theme of your story. Because the theme is something you have that helps you develop your story, and it has this very significant impact on your main character. They're like just entwined, right?
Yeah.
So your book will have a plot.
Those are the things that happen in your story.
And your book will have character development.
How your character evolves or doesn't in a story.
But your book will also have theme, and that's the more abstract concepts that your story involves, right?
Yeah.
All right, so themes can be broken into concepts and statements. So a concept is something abstract like
love or grief.
Right?
Yeah.
Revenge. A statement could be
human love is imperfect.
Or
living with grief is permanent.
See how those are sentences there, man?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's different, right?
It's definitely different.
Yes. Like, because love as a concept could also be like, love rocks, or love is the worst thing that could ever happen, or love ruins your life, or you have no life without love. And all of those could be the themes of your story, right?
Right.
But if you just say love, it's not specific enough, right? It's just a concept. It's not a statement. And theme is a statement.
Yeah, okay.
All right?
All right. All right. Thank you. I was gonna ask you that almost specific question, but you answered it for me.
Boom. That's why I'm here, folks. So Sarah Letourneau is a poet who also writes for Do-It-Yourself MFA, and she coaches. And she has a great piece about developing themes and stories and even a worksheet on her website. The link to that is also on our website and our podcast notes. And our website's carriejonesbooks.blog if you want to see that link. But she advocates that when developing a theme for your character's story, you can do so in their big choice in Act 1 in the story. So those of you who don't know, an Act 1 is the beginning part of your story. That's where you do what, Shawnee?
That's where you establish the character, the setting, the story problem, character goals, etc. And it's usually also the place where the character's world begins to change. This usually happens in the inciting incident.
And when the inciting incident happens, the character you've developed has to make this big time decision. Will they keep on with the same old, or I don't know, will they make a change that gets them involved with a story, a choice that makes it so their life isn't going to be that same old after all. And when they make that choice, the story usually enters
Act 2.
And that's the
place where everything is different for the main character. It's a point of no return. Kind of like when Suki chose Bill, right?
Yeah, in True Blood.
Instead of Sam.
Yeah. So, what is this choice? I have strong feelings about True Blood and Sookie's choices. According to Laterna, the choice that your character makes has the following elements. It
typically occurs around the 25% mark. Is that of the book?
Yeah.
Okay. And signals the end of Act 1 and the beginning of Act 2.
It shows the protagonist becoming fully engaged in the external conflict of the story.
It further establishes the protagonist's story goal.
And that choice raises the stakes and underscores why the story goal matters to the protagonist. She writes, and I love this.
It's easy to confuse the inciting incident and the Act 1 choice, since they occur so closely together. However, while the inciting incident invites the protagonist into the main conflict, the Act 1 choice is her RSVP. It shows the protagonist committing to her involvement and taking the first step out of her comfort zone. In other words, it's her internal response to an external change in her status quo. And like with the inciting incident, it has the ability to reflect the story's themes.
There, back to themes, right? So what does themes have to do with this? The inciting incident is where your character's desires are triggered, or maybe it's her fears. It pushes her towards the choice that becomes her story goal, right?
Uh-huh.
And the desires are part of what the character has to learn, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and what they have to learn is usually linked to... The theme.
Well, yes.
OMG.
Well, I was going to say the inciting incident, but and the change, the choice of change, but that's all theme, so.
It's all interconnected, right?
That's right.
Like, Sarah Letourneau uses The Hobbit as an example of all of this, right?
Yeah.
So she says that in The Hobbit,
Bilbo Baggins, the titular Hobbit, makes the wizard Gandalf, who invites him on an upcoming quest. Bilbo initially refuses, claiming he's not the adventurous type. But then things change a lot because there is that choice. And your main character has to pick the option that makes the story happen. They have to want it more than they want to stay in their same, safe, same old life. The theme comes into play because your character's goals and desires and fears are all involved in this choice. What thematic, abstract ideas relate to your character's choice? That's a big hunk of your theme.
Right, so... everything, like I was saying, is interlinked. The theme is linked to the character's goals and desires. Those goals and desires are going to teach us all something about life or the character and the author's feelings about that, represented through the theme or the statement of the book, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a book about something that has nothing to do with the theme and the characters, your book's not going to work, right?
That's right.
So, like, for Bilbo, that theme is about courage, and he chooses adventure and exploring. And so it's like, all who wander are not lost is kind of the theme for that book, right?
Yes.
And you would never know that if Bilbo just sat at home, or if it was a book about a romance with his next-door neighbor. You know what I mean? Like, so, since that book's about an adventure, the theme, all who wander are not lost,
yeah,
works, right?
That's right.
And Laterno has a really great worksheet that we have links to in there as well. Because it's cool. And our next week and the week after that, we're going to be talking about how to find your own theme and develop it in your own novel.
Sexy. That sounds kind of scary.
No, it's sexy scary.
Sexy scary?
Yeah, you just imagine theme dressed up all in leather with a whip and you'll be all right.
Is that what you're into now, baby?
Hardly. I'm more like, hey, can we just cuddle on the couch under a nice fluffy blankie and have hot cocoa?
That's her.
Until our tummy's
That's
blue.
Caring.
That's me.
Hey, thanks for listening to Write Better Now. These podcasts and more writing tips are on Carrie's website, carriejonesbooks.blog. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, or share this podcast.
There's a donation button over there on my blog and lots of other content. And honest to goodness, I sound like such a mama. Honest to goodness, even a dollar inspires us to do a happy dance. So thank you for your support. The music that you hear is made available through the Creative Commons, and
it's a bit of a shortened track from the fantastic Mr. Ruiz, and this track is Arctic Air, off the album Winter Haze, Summer Days.
Boom.
So that person smokes. You got weed themed music on our stuff, honey.
All our podcasts.
Rogue for Spleef.
Hey, and if you like this podcast,
Summer Spleef.
You can listen to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, or Carrie Does Poems, or Loving the Strange. Thanks for listening.
The other two are funny. This one's serious.
So serious.